If someone listened to your every phone call for a month, what would they know about you? I want you to just think about that for a second. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. We are here live in the studio, deep behind the orange curtain in our famous but unknown, undisclosed location. And if you want to be on the program today, 800-222-5222, 1-800-222-5222. I know with all the late-breaking developments and things I need to cover, I will try to get to some phone calls. I know I'm not always as good at that as I ought to be. So if you call, we'll do our best to get to you. Now, also, if you have a thought to send me quickly, obviously tweet us or email me, sam@samnation.com. All right. Now, to my question. So if somebody listened to you for an entire month, every phone call, every conversation you had with your wife, with your husband, with your girlfriend, boyfriend, your friends, your coworkers, your mistress, I mean, whomever. Conversations that you had maybe with your doctor, with your kids. And well, forget just, I mean, I'm talking about phone calls. What about emails too? Text messages. When we talk about the operational capabilities of the NSA, these folks can grab it all. I mean, they will know it in 1 month's time. Forget it, man. I mean, 3 weeks. You're that's it. 2 weeks. Well, we were talking about it here in the studio before the show, and I posed the question to the crew, and I'm actually a little bit worried because I got a lot of very worried looks in here. No, don't worry. I don't have any inside information, but now think about this. The reason I bring all this up is there, a few hours ago, Fox News is reporting, comments by Representative Peter King of New York. Now he's, a Republican congressman who is also a member of the House Intelligence Committee. And he began to characterize in greater detail these reports, okay, of the surveillance which is being talked about now. The reports where Trump and his associates and his kids had their names unmasked. And yes, it involves even conversations that he'd had with his kids. Even with the kids that weren't even involved, you know, his daughter, that's Tiffany, that's not involved in the campaign. It's terrible stuff. Here's what Peter King says about it. Now, he says this is information about their everyday lives. Sort of like, and the quote continues here, sort of like in a divorce case where lawyers are hired, investigators are hired just to find out what the other person is doing from morning until night, and then you try to piece it together later on. Now, if you've been through a divorce, right, you're starting to have hairs on the back of your head stand up because maybe your significant other, your ex, did that to you. Most people have been spied on. We know that now. We know that the NSA is tracking all of our phone calls, recording everything. It's going to big databases. But for most of us, right, we don't have any practical feedback that the information is being used, heck, listened to by any human, right? It's just going into that giant hard drive. And you're probably thinking to yourself, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm a good person. Well, I'm not going to look over my shoulder. Why do I have to worry about the police if I'm not speeding or if I'm not driving drunk? That's the theory. I'm a good guy. I'm not doing anything wrong. And most importantly, I think there's a certain naivete here is that this is all for terrorism stuff, right? This is going to be used for terrorism. But what if somewhere along the road, somebody finds out that maybe you didn't declare some income, and the IRS then starts to poke around and wants to get information on your business dealings. And now there's this whole set of phone logs, phone calls, emails, text messages, everything recorded, every detail about your life. That's just one example, something to think about. But the other thing, and I want to provide context to what is going on here with Trump. Because when I ask you, what do you think if a month's worth of your life, right, your phone calls, emails, text messages were being listened to by someone? Now let me tell it, now let me take it one step further. What if the person listening to all that information is your adversary? Someone who is in direct conflict with you. Your enemy. Well, maybe you don't have one, but Trump did, and his name was Obama. And the idea that in politics, that this entire machine, this giant ear built by the government, we always knew it could be turned, but that this giant ear built by the government, this giant sniffer, this vacuum for all personal communications could be used, could be turned against, oh, I don't know, a president, one politician against another. See, this is why we've arrived at the why behind the whole Russia scandal. And I'm using my air quotes. They knew from the beginning that this was going to get out. It's the Democrats, it's the Obama people, it's their operatives in the media. They have to keep this Russia thing alive. They have to. Because without justification, this thing is criminal and it's obscene. It absolutely, to its core, violates our conscience. And so they've got to come up with justification for it. Now, what's Susan Rice saying in all this? Because this is the curious thing. Always look at people and examine them closely when they begin to shift their stories. Do you remember 2 weeks ago? I played the clip on Monday. I'm going to play it again because it's so important. So about 2 weeks ago, Susan Rice was talking to Judy Woodruff. And gets asked, at this point, there was just this noise about Nunez running around saying, I've seen a smoking gun, and there was surveillance, and I can prove it, and da-da-da-da-da. And at that point, one of the people, it just so happens that as the former national security advisor for Obama, Ms. Rice was called in to give her opinion about whether or not there was any there. And this is what she said.
I know nothing about this. I was surprised to see reports from Chairman Nunes on that count today. I mean, let's back up and recall where we have been. The President of the United States accused his predecessor, President Obama, of wiretapping Trump Tower during the campaign. Nothing of the sort occurred, and we've heard that confirmed by the director of the FBI, who also pointed out that no president, no White House, can order the surveillance of another American citizen. That can only come from the Justice Department with the approval of a FISA court. So today, I really don't know to what Chairman Nunes was referring.
I don't know. I don't know anything. This didn't happen. No way, no how. Now, she's being very careful in selecting words that don't put her into much of a hole. Now, let's fast forward 2 weeks. And this is her yesterday on Andrea Mitchell, talking about how, well, she's starting to explain now what her role in all this is denying this. She is denying it all up and down. Now, I want you to note, I want you to hear Andrea Mitchell asking the question. This is such an incredible, obscene softball question. Because it shows you how complicit the media is in protecting Obama and all of his cronies. Listen to this very carefully, and we'll talk about it right afterwards.
Did you seek the names of people involved in, to unmask the names of people involved in the Trump transition, the Trump campaign, people surrounding the president-elect.
Let me be clear.
In order to spy on them, in
absolutely,
order to expose them.
Absolutely not for any political purposes to spy, expose anything.
But did you leak the name of Mike Flynn?
I leaked nothing to nobody and never have and never would.
She's not, there's no, nothing leaks out of Ms. Rice. It's very reassuring. Did you catch that? Andrea Mitchell, she's already done asking the question, and then she quickly throws in, this is what I mean by softball. She says, did you ever unmask the names of people involved in the trans, da, 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 in order to spy on them and expose them? See, that's the reason is the more components you add, the more individual things you string together, cojoined with an and, the more elements you're adding to the fact chain. So when you say no to that, if one of those elements in the fact chain is not correct, right? You understand what I'm saying here. Did you do A, B, and C, and C, and C, and make a big point of that? The person says no because they didn't do C, but A and B are pretty dang problematic. In order to spy on them and expose them? No, that was somebody else's job. Remember that executive order that Obama issued in the last days where all the different agencies, the 16 agencies, can now share and cross-pollinate information that's found in one agency to the other and vice versa? That was so that this stuff could get out and they couldn't track the leaker. And I told you this weeks ago. You know the question to ask here? Is if this was all related to Russia, because this is what the defenders, right? This is, and I'm going to play to you some of the most absurd, disgusting, truly disgusting clips of the media apologizing for this horse crap. And when you hear it, you got to understand that the whole thing here is that there's a Russia investigation. This is a serious allegation that was being investigated. Trump colluded with Russia, and then continues the narrative of everything that we've heard. And frankly, there is nothing. I mean, the further we go down with that, the less facts there are. But if that was the purpose of this type, this unmasking, right? Pulling all these conversations that were had between Trump and foreign people, Trump and his people, and da 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 da. If the unmasking was ordered because it was part of an investigation, can you please explain to me why it was the national security? Why it was Ms. Rice doing it? I mean, wouldn't you? The FBI is investigating this. Why wasn't it an FBI agent? Why wasn't it someone from the Justice Department? Why wasn't it an operative with the CIA? Why is it the National Security Advisor that's doing this? And why is it someone, and this is important to remember too, why is it a gal who is alternatively described in the media, right? It has been for years. I mean, very close Obama confidant. Why has she been described as Obama's right-hand woman and like a sister? Right? I've heard this about her for years. And this woman is a total liar. You want lying? This is the one who, with a straight face, told us that when Benghazi happened, it was all because of that video. And of course, later we learned that they knew that it was a coordinated, you know, concerted terrorist attack. And remember Bo Bergdahl? It was her. She went on, you know, people started sniffing around that deal, how it went south, you know, because we traded 20 top bad guys from Al-Qaeda and for one of our guys. And the media starts poking around at that. And you know what she said? Do you remember this? That Bergdahl served with honor and distinction. And that was when they already knew. I mean, the military knew that he had he went AWOL, that he was colluding with the enemy, that he was a bad egg. She knew it. She is, you want to talk about a political person in the NSA. This is what happens when you take something that has, it was originally designed to protect us, to help us, and when it is operationalized and weaponized in a political setting, it is frightening as all heck. Now, don't worry though. The left and the media have already come up with some great reasons as to why Ms. Rice is being attacked. It's pretty predictable. I'm going to play it for you here right when we come back. Sam Rudzowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Back after this.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rudzowski here. Now, Chris Matthews on MSNBC today had political analyst David Corn on, who is one of these. He's, I think, with Mother Jones. Is that right? Total moron. And here, okay, so they're discussing the Susan Rice business. Now, Susan Rice, of course, now it's firmly believed that she is the unmasker in chief inside the Obama White House, who deliberately targeted Trump for surveillance and for unmasking the identities of Trump and his aides and his family members. And these are conversations, by the way, nothing to do with anything to do, not even politics. Some of it was deeply personal stuff. Conversations that were, think about this. People are having deeply personal conversations about stuff that is not even related to politics or the campaign, and she's asking for those conversations for names to be unmasked. Sure, that sounds good. So anyway, on Chris Matthews, MSNBC, contributor David Corn is being asked by Chris Matthews. Now, well, I'll tell you what Chris Matthews, he goes out, now it's a female. I mean, Rice is a female. She's a woman. Listen to this exchange.
At the end of the day, we need some element of decency. When Rand Paul gets out there and says, she's abused this right, there is not an iota of evidence that she's abused anything. Calling her defunct Mary, all we know now is that she did her job. Did she do something wrong? There is no information indicating that. So they are making her, basically they're defaming her without any reason to do so. Because she's a woman, maybe because she's a black woman, maybe because they didn't like her during Benghazi.
Whoa! That's it. See, you know you've got the libs terrified. You know you've got them all in a tizzy. They are full retreat when they pull out sexism and racism. That is, look, the Democrats, leftists, they're a one-trick pony, okay? All they've got, they cannot attack the stuff logically. Because logically, if the tables were turned, this is how you have to approach it. If it was Obama, incoming president, now POTUS, president of the United States, and he were being spied on during his transition period, or maybe even during his campaign, by a President Trump, and by, Steve Bannon. You heard all the outcry today about Steve Bannon getting booted from the National... from the Security Council. Yeah, he got booted from the Security Council. Everyone's crowing about it. This is a politicization of the. It's so absurd. If it were the other way around, and Trump were spying on Obama, these people would be. This would be the top story every minute of the day, 24-hour news cycle, top to bottom. But now the best that they can do is, why are they targeting her? These white guys are beating up on a black woman. That's the best they've got? Really? This is embarrassing. Now, more of this came from other sources, right? We had Don Lemon on CNN yesterday. This is the great. Again, you see, you can hear in his voice. He's not addressing any facts any information. Here's what he says.
The Washington Post today calls the latest claims about Susan Rice anatomy of a fake scandal ginned up by right-wing media and Trump. So let us be very clear about this. There is no evidence whatsoever that the Trump team surveilled or spied on, was spied on illegally. There is no evidence that backs up the president's original claim. And on this program tonight, we will not insult your intelligence by pretending otherwise, nor will we aid and abet the people who are trying to misinform you, the American people, by creating a diversion. Not going to do it.
You, sir, are an idiot. This is journalism? These are journalists? I'm telling you, this is going to turn into a scandal of epic proportion. And all of these CNN commentators are on the wrong side of this. Trust me. It's gonna explode. All right, we got John Wolfe up next with the news, and we'll be back right after this.
Radio 790 KABC.
And welcome back, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. If you want to be on the program, 800-222-5222, 1-800-222-5222, or email me, sam@samnation.com. Speaking about the Susan Rice controversy, which you will not hear about most places because, frankly, so I watched CNN today, and they're just denying it, calling it a complete non-issue. Nothing to see here. Move along, folks. And one of the things that keeps getting repeated is it wasn't illegal. She did nothing illegal. Nothing wrong. Okay, let me tell you how this is going to play out. Because from my understanding and what I've seen here, the laws related to unmasking are fairly arcane. Now, I, of course, objectively, and again, if you are going to reverse the roles, and you'll remember what happened here, right? Using a very flimsy, a very thin type of warrant. Not the normal kind of warrant that the police need when they want to, you know, search your house, for example, or tap your phone line. But this is a kind of warrant here that is it's the type of warrant. It's a FISA warrant. It's the type of warrant used in terrorism cases. And it only applies to when you, a U.S. person, are talking to somebody that is not a U.S. person. That's a foreign person. And now. And the idea is that that warrant, which is very easy to get, right? We've talked about this 30, 40,000 applications, and only maybe 14 or 15 times have they ever been turned down. They're easy to get. And the idea is, though, the trade-off for that, for them being easy to get and not following our usual constitutional protocol, is that the U.S. Constitution does not protect people who are overseas. It only protects those of us that are in the U.S. or are U.S. citizens. And so if I, as a U.S. citizen, am talking to somebody overseas, that other person overseas can be surveilled. But my identity has to be protected. And that is called masking. And it's something like, you know, basically blacking out the names in a transcript. Protecting the information. And we were led to believe that it is all very lockbox, that it's all very, you know, difficult for those names to be unmasked because, right, we as Americans, those of us who are concerned about, you know, matters of privacy, matters of constitution, and honestly, this is a civil liberties issue. Very important to me, and as an attorney, I've always been a huge advocate of privacy rights. What is in your computer, what is on your phone, on your cell phone, is no different than what our founders intended to protect when they said our papers and our things and our effects. Right? It's no different. We have a constitutional right to privacy, and the courts historically have upheld it. But along comes terrorism. And so the idea is that you've got these FISA warrants to protect us, make it easier in anti-terrorism investigations. You're going to mask these individuals. Fine. Okay. It was supposed to be difficult, but it turns out that just one person in the administration for political purposes can unmask it. Now, was a crime committed? You know what's going to happen here? Congress, and they're already talking about it. Congress is going to haul Susan Rice in to testify, and we're going to have a little replay of Lois Lerner. You remember who that was? She was the IRS villain, right? The gal at the IRS who was targeting conservative groups. And she got up and what did she do? She did nothing wrong too, right? If you listen to CNN. But she gets up, she testifies, and what does she say? I plead the Fifth Amendment. I'm not going to testify. I'm not going to self-incriminate. So if Rice gets up there and testifies and pleads the Fifth, you know, she can't. I'll explain a little bit how that works when we come back, but that's going to be our telltale sign. Of course, they probably just persecuted Lois Lerner because she was a woman, right? That's the explanation. All right, Sam Rejofsky, back right after this.
Talk radio.
790 KABC. 5, 6, 5, 2, 7.
And you are listening to Sam Nation on KBC Talk Radio 790. Hey, here's the thing about all this unmasking business. Ultimately, if you need to get a warrant from the court, right, a regular old judge issuing a warrant to intercept a phone call that you have with your wife or with your shady business partner with whom you're conspiring to commit a crime. And they can't get it. And so what do? The police, they don't have probable cause. They can't get the warrant. So then what do? They turn around and they go and get one of these, you know, crappy little dime a dozen FISA warrants. And they wait until you make a phone call overseas. And the minute you do that, now they can start gathering. They got all that information. They can use it. And then what type of justification do they need, right? Do they need in order to unmask your name? Because they're going to take that convo. They know they're targeting you, but they can't use it. They can't touch it. So it's this interesting thing. They know they're targeting you, but they can't touch the info. And so you're probably wondering what type of action is required? Well, here's what it is, and it's explained by none other than former CIA Director Michael Hayden today on CNN talking to Wolf Blitzer, who's working overtime.
You've gotten the report, and you say, I really need to know who U.S. person number one is. You fill out a request. In her case, a staff member would fill out the request. It would go to NSA, and it literally, Wolf, be adjudicated by the analyst, a lawyer, and then someone who's an expert in unmasking and minimization. If the argument made by the requester, and by the way, it doesn't have to be the National Security Advisor. It could be a GS9 analyst at CIA who needs it to perform his or her job. They make an adjudication, they make a decision, and then, Wolf, if it's yes, that identity is revealed only to the requester, not to everyone else on the original distribution. So this is very careful and very well documented. It should be easy to find out how often she asked, why, who was revealed, and under what circumstances.
I'm going to tell you something. I listened to this, and it does not make me feel any better about this process. First of all, you understand the whole idea. You think about this. Courts, again, the Supreme Court, again and again and again, has upheld that you need warrants when it comes to certain surveillance. Phone calls are about as personal as it gets. Okay? Private speech. And you know, I'll tell you, do you know what the litmus test, by the way, is? The legal litmus test for privacy rights. It's based on subjective and objective expectations of privacy, which is a fancy way of saying, what do you expect to be private And what do people generally, you know, as a group, you know, what do we as a society think about that? You know, an individual might have an unreasonable expectation of privacy, but we as a group of people probably agree that, for example, in our homes, we expect privacy. In our bedrooms, we expect privacy. Personal private phone calls that we're not making outside in front of people, that we're not making in a crowded space, we expect those to be private. And those are protected by, they're constitutionally protected and require a warrant. So the fact that Hayden here is saying, you know, it doesn't even have to be the National Security Advisor. I mean, hell, it could just be a GS9 analyst. Oh, that makes me feel really great. So a GS9 analyst, some wet behind the ear. Now, a GS9, I don't know. That's a pretty high level. Mid-range. Mid-range to low. I'm getting up to the date info. Thank you, Robbie. That, it just doesn't make me feel any better, and it shouldn't make you feel any better either. Tim in Laguna called, and he made a great point. Every single act where they unmask someone's phone call is a Fourth Amendment violation. So the whole question of, is it illegal, right? Is it illegal what she did? We're going to find out, but if she starts to say, you know, Fifth Amendment, it's funny how these people always remember what the Constitution is when their own goose is getting cooked. Susan Fried Rice, who you? Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC, back after this.
Talk Radio, 790
KABC.
Do you play golf? I don't, actually, not very much, not very well. But apparently there's this very famous golfer, Rory McIlroy. Have you heard about the brouhaha that's developing? I guess back in February, he played a round of golf with President Trump and he, at the Masters, which is like one of the most famous golf courses in the world, at Augusta National. And he just got a ton of flack for it. How could you do this? How could you? Horrible. And he full on folded today. Did you see this clip? If you missed it, good thing you're tuned in here. I'm going to play it for you. Here's what Rory McIlroy, one of the top 10 golfers in the world, said about, now on reflection, what he thinks maybe he should have done. You know, in hindsight with the whole Trump game.
It's a difficult one. I felt it was a, you know, I felt I would have been making more of a statement if I had turned it down. And, you know, it was a not a tough place to be put in, but yeah, it was a round of golf and nothing more. And, you know, would I do it again? After the sort of the backlash I received, I'd think twice about it.
What a meow meow. Yeah. You know what I would have said? Now, I understand he's under a lot of pressure. You know, he's probably got sponsors and people like that. Everybody's yelling at him. So he sounds like he's just this defeated little child. But you know what I would have said? He's the president of the United States. He calls me to play a round of golf. Of course I'm going to go. It's not like I'm playing with Hitler. It's a president, for Pete's sakes. You know, actually, Rory, I got an idea for you. You got to take, you know, I'm sorry it takes a couple of gay guys to show you what to do, but Dolce and Gabbana, okay? You guys, did you hear this story? These guys, by the way, I've followed these guys for years. They're terrific. These guys are hilarious. So they're the famous designers, and apparently they are dressing Melania Trump, and they are just like Rory, they're getting hell. You know what? You know what their literal response to the critics that are hitting them for dressing Melania Trump for her official White House portrait. You know what they said? F off. Period. They just told them to go pound sand. See, I don't know what happened to us as a society. We're turning into wimps. And the media are driving this narrative that Trump is the devil, that he's a nincompoop, that he's a good-for-nothing loser, he's a co-conspirator of Putin to end the world. I mean, it's just absurd. You know, as I reflect on this, you know who else is not a meow-meow? That's right, you guessed it. James Bergner. Wait, absolutely not. I mean, he may be, people call him Sweet James because he's a good guy. He fights for you. He cares. His heart's in the right place. But believe you me, he's got teeth and he knows how to use them. And I'm not talking about that dog bite that, you know, you may have gotten. The point is, you have got to stand up for yourself. And he's going to stand up for you. I every time I talk to him about clients, the one thing I can tell you about James is that he really cares. He's passionate about making sure that you get what you deserve. It literally offends him what insurance companies try to do to victims of injuries and accidents. So what you need to do, if you want the right lawyer on your side, the one that has heart, not some guy with the jingle, not some referral service, not some big pompous guy who's a million miles away and doesn't care about you. If you want a real guy fighting for you, call James. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, we're going to be back on Friday to do this all over again. I'm going to have lots of updates for you with the Susan Rice thing. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you Friday night. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.